And welcome back to Mind Games, the psychology of performance. And as we look back at the year, we're looking back at some of the top media gaffes of the year. And I know, Tom, you and I talked off air that really it was a great year for stupidity in the media.
There's never a shortage.
And I'm thankful to say our show was not among the top media disasters of the year, but we're working towards that.
Not top 10.
But listen, I'm going to call in a good friend of mine, a guy named Brad Phillips. He runs a blog called Mr. Media Training. And you can find him on Facebook, MrMediaTraining.com. And what Brad does every year is he actually compiles a list of the top 10 worst media disasters of the year. For instance, last year, Mel Gibson, I think, was number one. And this year, he's got a whole new list of top 10. So, Brad, are you with us?
I'm here. Nice to be with you.
Awesome. And now, Brad, you're actually located out on the East Coast. For our listeners, we'll let you guys know. You're a media trainer, correct?
That's right.
And you had worked at ABC News at one time with Ted Koppel?
Yes, both at ABC News and also producing three different shows at CNN in Washington.
Well, let me just ask you, like, what has been the reaction to this list? And we're going to get into the specific things here in a minute, but just in general, I mean, people really are digging this list.
Yeah, well, it has become one of the most popular features every month, actually, on the Mr. Media Training blog. At the end of the month, we look back at the five worst media disasters of the month, which makes it pretty easy at the end of the year to come up with the top 10 disasters of the year.
So are you always thinking how you would advise the people caught into these traps?
Yeah, and that's really the point of the blog. It's not only to look at the disasters, but then to help people avoid making similar mistakes. And one of the things that always surprises me is, even though we know certain things, such as when there's a microphone around, don't say anything you might regret, yeah, we still see spokespersons, politicians, celebrities forgetting and making the mistake almost on a weekly basis.
And it really is an awareness of the moment. I just, as we spoke before, it's like, how do people not know that the ship is sinking, it's on fire, and it's going down quick when they're in that sort of situation? I don't understand how people can't figure it out just to shut up.
Yeah, you know, a lot of the time people intended to do something right, or they didn't intend to say something that hurt somebody's feelings or caused a ruckus, and they feel misunderstood. So their natural defense is to defend it, to say, my motives were pure, I didn't mean what I said, if you knew me, you'd know I'm a good person. But meanwhile, of course, the public is reacting differently. So I think there is a natural defensiveness that kicks in. And one of the jobs of a crisis communications professional is to let people know, despite the fact that you're naturally defensive and it makes sense that you are, this is a reaction that is only going to deepen the crisis.
Well, now, Brad, we do not have any sort of drum roll or any sort of special effects. We're just going to get right into your list, and we're going to kind of focus very quickly on numbers 10 through 6, spend a little bit more time on some of the top five. So, without further ado, number 10, Hank Williams comparing President Obama to Adolf Hitler. Talk about that situation.
That's right. He compared the president to Adolf Hitler during an interview on the Fox News channel. The hosts of Fox and Friends both bristled when he made the comment, and it resulted in him losing his job as the song opener, at least, on ESPN's Monday Night Football.
Oh, that is truly a shame. You know, do you connect that to have you seen those posters where they kind of give Obama a Hitler kind of mustache?
I have, yeah. Yes.
I mean, that's a funny connection. Isn't it?
Yeah, and you know what's interesting is during the Bush years, you saw the same comparisons being made about him. My sense is that whenever somebody disagrees strongly with a politician of the opposing party, they're going to compare that person to the worst person they can possibly think of. Hitler, obviously, is pretty much at the top of that list.
Yeah, that's elite company when it comes to bad.
So we move down to number 9, and we go to Sarah Palin in a comment she made about given the situation with Gabrielle Giffords, who was basically shot down or shot in Tucson, and the governor actually had some comments to the effect that she called the media, they're practicing blood libel, which is a term that is commonly used as an anti-Semitic slur referring to Jews murdering Christians. And, I mean, how do you come back from some of that kind of comment?
It's pretty hard to. In fact, that was the moment when her poll numbers dropped significantly, both among Republicans and independents. And I think it's fair to say that that was the moment that her political aspirations, to the degree she had them, really went away on the national level.
You know, but she's still lurking.
She's still lurking. The question, of course, is could she win? My sense is that you know, she could probably get 35, 40% of the vote, but she would almost certainly get walloped in a general election.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that somebody runs third party, okay? They take, you know, how did Clinton get elected? You know, what did Perot take in that election? Or for that matter, what did in the Bush Gore, what did
Pat Buchanan?
Yeah, what did those guys get? And in a close election, it doesn't take much. And it doesn't seem to me like a bunch of these Republican people even care about winning. They just want their face on TV, right? I'm not, you know, that's my take.
It's certainly an interesting year, to say the least, in presidential politics. You know, I think there's two different factions of the Republican Party, the ones who believe in principle and they are going to vote for the person who they think represents their views. And then there are ones, I think, that are more pragmatic and they're interested primarily in winning. And just like John McCain in 2008, who a lot of Republicans didn't love, they thought he had the best chance of winning and voted for him anyway. So I think you're going to see a split in the Republican Party between those two.
Yeah.
Hey, Brad, looking again at your list, going back to it, it really wasn't a good year to be the chief of the National Public Radio. If folks know that Ron Schiller went to lunch and was secretly recorded making some comments about the Tea Party that were, you know, very, well, he's called them racist people. And the comments really came at a terrible time for NPR. You know, the House voted to actually strip their funding. The Senate, you know, did not do so. But it was, you know, and Schiller resigned immediately, and it just became a real lightning rod in America for NPR. Talk about that whole situation.
Yeah, you know, NPR is a lightning rod for the political right anyway. And you may remember that the pundit Juan Williams, who used to be an NPR contributor.
Friend of the show.
He was a guest on our show earlier.
Also on the Fox News Channel a lot. Yeah. He was dismissed over comments. And that made a lot of Republicans very angry. It reinforced the view that a lot of people hold, that NPR is liberal and, of course, largely taxpayer-funded. So Ron Schiller's comments could not have come at a worse time for NPR. And I think it teaches people a different lesson. He didn't know he was being videotaped. He thought he was at lunch with a donor. But it just goes to prove whether or not you think you're being interviewed, with the number of hidden camera exposés that are occurring now more than they ever used to before, with the advent of phone cameras and recorders on everybody's smartphones, you almost have to treat every engagement that you have with a stranger as if it's being recorded.
Amen. Hey, let's jump to 7. Rupert Murdoch and Fox News Corp phone hacking scandal, which is in the news today, right? He was incredibly indifferent to the issues and came across as a completely clueless CEO. You saw the news today about what's the CNN guy's name? Piers Morgan. What's that
story? Who has been caught up in the scandal. A lot of people questioning whether he himself might have known more. And if it turns out that he did know more about the phone hacking scandal, a lot of heat's going to turn to CNN asking the question, can this guy really be a so-called journalist or pundit on their network?
Like Larry King, the famous journalist, right?
Right, he's in the same time slot. Rupert Murdoch, I thought, violated the Harry Truman rule of the buck stops here. He was asked if he took responsibility for the scandal, and he, with one word, he put his head down and just said, nope.
Yeah. Hey, moving forward, at number 6, and this is kind of one of my favorites, I'm surprised it was so low, and that it was Rick Perry just having his oops moment. He says he had a plan to eliminate 3 government agencies, names 2 of them, and can't remember the third. So for 47 seconds, America sits and waits to see what comes out of his mouth, only to hear, oops, he forgot what that third one was. I mean, what a, you know, that was just a terrible situation for him. I mean, talk about the Rick Perry oops moment.
Yeah, you know, the thing for Rick Perry is that any of us at any given moment can have a brain freeze and forget what we're saying. The thing that really, I think, tripped him up and that was surprising to me is that he wasn't able to more gracefully transition away from the moment. So, for example, he could have said number 1 is this department, number 2 is this department, and number 3 is, you know,
duh.
I'm having a tough time thinking of number 3, but let me tell you the reason it's so important to shrink government. That would have gotten him away from the brain freeze. Instead, he just lingered in the moment for, as you said, 47 seconds.
Unbelievable.
Well, listen, we're going to have to roll out to a break here, Brad. Can you stick with us? And we'll get back to numbers 5 through number 1, the top media disaster of 2011. Can you stick with us, Brad?
I'd be happy to.
Okay, thanks. We'll be back with you. This is Mind Games Radio on KFNS and KFNS.com.